thought you were the worst thing in the world since if you shot a doe. So I realized that that rules have to change as the conditions change and as the environment changes. But sometimes I wonder if we try to get a little ahead of ourselves.
That's a good point.
Marty, here's my argument with some of it also. I think biologists need to be making the decisions. And when I say that, I think the conservation department needs to be in control. This doesn't need to be running through the legislature because God knows our legislature and the things they've done in the past. I don't think they ought to be controlling our conservation and making our laws, not unless it's recommended by the conservation department. You know, the conservation has not come out and said one way or the other. And I know politics plays a part of that, and I do understand that. But I just don't think that this is the right decision. There's too many negatives if we do this. And I don't even know, of course, the legislature has been, I think they've been in hiatus for 2 weeks now. They're out on spring break.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if any of them got busted down south last night. but anyways, I just don't think they need to be making that decision. We need to have sound decisions when it affects our wildlife. I mean, it's a natural resource.
I agree. We need to have sound science. That's why we're doing we call in the deer harvest now. We call in the turkey harvest now. I don't have a problem with that. We got to have good numbers to make future decisions. And I'm with you. I think our wildlife biologists need to be the driving factor of any major changes as far as hunting goes, as far as limits, as far as seasons, anything else, because they've got the training. We grew up in it. We can know a little bit about this area, but they have the background with the scientific method that they can look at the data and come up with something that doesn't threaten us. I mean, we've got, you know, everybody looks at Alabama and is jealous of our deer herd and is jealous of we got one of the longest seasons in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We still have, even with a 3-buck limit, we still have a long and lengthy bag limit for deer. I think the federal government, or one of the studies I saw, was that hunting creates an economic impact of $1.8 billion.
That's right.
Dollars a year. Now, that's not counting fishing. That's not counting wildlife watching. That's not counting people that come down here and see our eagles. Mm-hmm. That's us boys with camouflage and four-wheel drive trucks.
We put
$1.8 billion into the economy every year. So
yep.
I don't want to see anything that'll mess that up. I mean, it's come too far. We started out in the 60s when, you know, I'm a child of the Black Belt. I grew up in Selma, Dallas County. And there were no deer over there except in Sumter County. There were deer down in the Mobile Ten Saw.
There were deer in Clark County.
Right. And if you saw a deer back in those days, you talked about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come from basically nothing to being one of the most blessed states in the country.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to see anything mess that up. And that's why I'm with you. I think we need to have good, sound, biologically proven principles in place as opposed to somebody just trying, you know, say, well, this might be a good idea.
Right.
You know, Chuck Sykes was with us probably about a month or two ago, and we were talking about it. And some of the laws that have changed and some of the things have changed through the years, just like what you said. But the 3-buck limit. An excellent idea. And yeah, it's a natural resource. It brings revenue. It brings income, not just tax dollars, but it flows on into the convenience stores when people buy gas, the local hotels, the lodges throughout the Black Belt. If you look at the 23 counties in what we call the Black Belt here in Alabama, the hunting industry is huge. The fishing industry is huge. But one thing Chuck said, and I do agree with him on, is that, you know, we have this long season, and Marty, I get to work at a lodge, and I get to see the impact of it in Bullitt County, and by going to February 10th, it has definitely helped our business at Great Southern Outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something we appreciate, because there's a lot of people, their season's in December 31st, January 10th, and they're still got that itch to go hunting, so they come to Alabama. And we're talking about a lot of states that where they've got a great deer population, they've got tremendous bucks, but they want that last little itch scratch, so they come to Alabama. But Chuck and them have done the job of giving us the season, and hey, manage your property. That's one thing
right,
he said to us. You manage your property, we're giving you enough days to do it, so manage your property.
Well, you look at some of the, you know, premier hunting states in the nation, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, things like that. They might have a week, 10 days,
yeah,
their entire season.
And they
get it done in 10 days, let me tell you. And they're crazy about it. And for them to have an opportunity to come down to Alabama, particularly in the Black Belt that's known for its magic dirt, I mean, they're going to jump at it. So you look at the Black Belt, that is the only tourism you've got going is outdoor tourism. I've done stories about it. That's, you know, farming is still the major industry in that part of the world, but you need somebody coming in generating new cash into those areas, and it's the outdoors that's doing it.
You're so right.
Yeah, you're right about that. But I just, you know, in my article, I mentioned CWD, and I had a response on Facebook from a good friend of mine, used to be the head of the Bow Association. Rob knows him also. And, boy, he sort of blasted me a little bit in a friendly way. It wasn't anything negative. That's one thing I will say, Marty, as outdoors people and outdoorsmen, as hunters and fishermen, we may not agree on everything, but we need to stick together as a group. Regardless what the results are, what the outcome is, we need to all stick together and be one voice. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and you get to CWD, and the last time I checked, it was nowhere around us. But, you know, it's one of those situations that you prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get into a situation of waking up one day and having it here. And it goes back again, you know, to the future of the resource. We've got to, this ain't checkers, guys. It's chess. We've got to be looking, you know, 10, 15 years down the road to see what else is coming up.
You're exactly right. It's the future. And when you say CWD, that was one of the arguments this gentleman had. He said, Steve, CWD, you mentioned it, it's not even a problem in Alabama. That's right. It's not a problem right now, but we need to make sure it doesn't become a problem. And baiting has been a factor in CWD. You talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin was one of the most popular states there was out there as far as deer numbers. Well, let me tell you something. CWD came to Wisconsin, it knocked it in the dirt. It's been located now in Arkansas. There's actually a case or two in Kentucky. There's a couple of cases in Texas.
There's in Iowa.
And we have got to be careful with that. You know, the states that really got devastated years ago with CWD, they'll come back, but they'll come back with proper management. And that's just something we got to be careful of. So if the gentleman who brought that argument up, that I don't need to be worried about CWD, he's wrong. I do need to be worried about it.
Well, we might not need to be worried about it now, but like I said, 5 years down the road, if it's here, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep, that's so right. I mean, you know, tell you the truth, at the end of the day, I think Alabama's hunting season is entirely too long.
Hey, well, you can't satisfy everybody.
I mean,
I'm going to tell you something, Rob. If you think it's too long, You manage your own season and hunt as long as you want.
Sure, yeah, but if
Marty,
my neighbors,
you think that's going to happen? Rob will be out there every day, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, because I'm trying to outdo my neighbors across the fence, supplemental feeding.
You know, that's one of the things I talked with Chuck when we extended it into the first 10 days of February, basically statewide. I said, you know, we start firearm season the Saturday before Thanksgiving, we're running to the middle of February. That's putting a lot of pressure on. You know, and that may be something we have to look at. He said, you know, in 2 or 3 years, if we look at it, we have the data, we may back off a little bit. But I hunted, I generally take off the last week of January to hunt. Or, you know, it's the last week of the rut, generally, when deer season ended January 31st in our area. I took off the 5th through the 10th of February this year and was kind of disappointed. But, you know, we had several days when it was dang near 70 degrees, too. So, you know. And that's one thing Chuck said, is the lengthy season allows these folks who may not have time built up to take off. They might not be able to hunt but 4 or 5 days a year, 4 or 5 weekends a year. So if they have one bad weekend, it's raining, one bad weekend where the weather doesn't cooperate, they have that opportunity to, you know, get out there and extend it a little bit. But, you know, it is a question whether we're running a little bit too long. And you know, you can talk to people. You know, you get three people in a room together, they're not going to agree what time of day it is, much less what, you know, what you need to do as far as game policy. But, yes, you know, that might be something we need to look at 3-4 years down the road when we have the proper information.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
Very good points.
Well, Marty, we sure appreciate you calling this morning. Folks, you can read his articles in the Advertiser. Are there specific days, Marty, that you're in there?
Well, I'm a reporter for the Advertiser, so every day I'm in there. My column, which is just goofy stuff after goofy stuff, that generally runs on Mondays in the print. Or, you know, like this week's column's already posted on the website, so if you want to, you know, waste 2 or 3 minutes and maybe get a chuckle, go on the website and look at it. I talk about an experience we had turkey hunting several decades ago back home at the home place. So
Man, that's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, don't be a stranger. Call in anytime you'd like, and we appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir, we do. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
Thanks for having me, fellas.